Dr. Richard Land of the Christian Post once wrote a book called The Divided States of America. In our culture wars in America and the West even, look at this recent contrast. Some on the left actually celebrated the recent murder of Charlie Kirk. One French media group compared the Charlie Kirk memorial to a Nazi rally and his assassination to the Reichstag fire. Meanwhile, at that very memorial, just a couple weeks ago, Erica Kirk forgave her husband's killer because it's what Charlie would do. We are truly divided today in America and in the West, frankly. There's an all-out war, really, against the Judeo-Christian heritage. That's what so much of this boils down to. Christina Bob is the author of a book called Defiant. It has been described as, quote, a bombshell expose of the lengths the left will go to maintain power and a call to action for Americans who refuse to let their country be lost to tyranny, end quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Christina Bob to the program. Thank you, Christina Bob, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. First of all, tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll get right into the book itself. But before we even go into any of those things, I would like your comment on just that very opening that I said, that on the one hand, we see Charlie Kirk was murdered in cold blood as he was advocating for free speech and letting people with whom he disagreed, you know, voice their opinions, and that he would, you know, give a nice, gentle answer responding to whatever they said. And then they murdered him in cold blood, and some people even celebrated that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sad day in America when you have people celebrating murder and advocating for murder. But we've been increasingly polarized now for several years. I think it started decades ago, but I think it got particularly bad under Barack Obama. But yeah, I mean, we are now in a place where murder is a political operation, apparently.
That's hard to believe. And I understand that your book, which is called Defiant, a lot of it deals with some of the attacks that Donald Trump has endured. And by the way, I know that Charlie Kirk was a big fan of Donald Trump, didn't agree with everything, but he certainly advocated for a lot of Trump's positive policies. But tell us about your book, Defiant.
Right. So Defiant, Inside the Mar-a-Lago Raid and the Left's Ongoing Lawfare, forward by President Trump. President Trump himself actually did the forward, so I'm really excited about it. This is the official version of what transpired with Mar-a-Lago. I was President Trump's representative on site. I was one of his staff attorneys working for on election integrity for him when the raid went down. As a result of my close affiliation with President Trump, I was brought into the lawfare myself. I'm currently still a criminal defendant. And I was sued, I was subpoenaed, I was defamed. I mean, all of the horrible things that we saw also happened to me and many, many other Americans that don't have the same platform that Donald Trump has. And so a lot of people don't know the story and the lengths that the left really has gone to try to throw their political opponents in prison. The abuses that are quite scary that we're watching take place. So I give you the text messages, all the behind the scenes conversations, the emails, everything that transpired surrounding the raid and the lawfare. That's the book.
You know, politics has been a blood sport for a long, long time. I mean, you could even go back into the 1800s, and there was a congressman from South Carolina, as I recall, and he took his cane and he went up and he beat a senseless Sumner from Massachusetts, who was pro-abolition. So slavery was there, and there's still, they say, the blood from Mr. Sumner's beating is still there, you know, in parts of the U.S. Capitol. So it's been bad in some ways for a long time, but there was something different about, even through Watergate and all those different things. There was something new that was introduced, perhaps under Obama. It's the Saul Alinsky stuff, the Lucifer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Saul Alinsky dedicated his book Rules for Radicals to Lucifer. That's why I bring up Lucifer's name. But
oh my gosh!
But
wow.
but tell us about you know, what was different with Saul Alinsky tactics being applied, you know, in the White House.
Well, I think that was the beginning of a radical shift for hating your political opponents. Don't get me wrong. I think George W. Bush did a lot of things that I would like to reverse, namely the Patriot Act and the reorganization of our government after 9/11. It fundamentally changed the United States, I think, for the worse. So there's a lot of political things that need to change. But Barack Obama was one who really seemed to allow for hating your political opponent and that being acceptable. And so now we have a situation where, whether it's the attempted assassination of Donald Trump or, you know, the January 6th protesters losing all of their civil rights and their constitutional rights, you had a media that was cheering it on and encouraging the public that this is what needed to happen. And it's been going on since he entered the race in 2015. So it's been going on for 10 years now. And then you see, you know, what happened with General Flynn and the whole Russia hoax and then Ukraine hoax and then January 6th and the way they have just been demonizing us, that you have people that actually believe it is not just morally acceptable, but laudatory to actually try to harm or kill people who support Donald Trump.
Yeah, you look, we still don't know the full details yet of what Butler was all about, Butler, Pennsylvania, and that shooter.
Right.
But there's something seriously wrong, or Ruth Rouse, same thing, two attempts on Trump's life. But in the case of the Butler, Pennsylvania, but for the fact, really, but for God's providence, the fact that Trump just mm-hmm. turned his head just a small quarter of an inch or whatever, less
yeah.
than a quarter of an inch, he would have been dead. And some people would find that acceptable.
Yeah, people would have cheered it. I mean, we saw what happened with Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk was just an activist. He wasn't the president. He wasn't a big front-running candidate. So, yeah, I think there would have been a lot of people cheering Donald Trump's demise. And then what would have happened? We would have had a presidential election with not Joe Biden and not Donald Trump, you know, two candidates thrown in at the end. Like, I mean, talk about losing our democracy. We came very, very close.
Can you explain about the lawfare aspects of this? Trump is a mm-hmm. convicted felon, you know, many times over. And yet for most of us, that just, well, that means nothing. I mean, in other words, it means nothing because it was so bogus. It was so obviously just political posturing. It had nothing to do with reality.
Yeah, and that's what's so dangerous about lawfare. So lawfare is the use or abuse of our justice system, whether civil or criminal, for something other than bringing about justice. So it's not that you care about him actually getting convicted or trying to bring justice to some supposed victim. It's trying to defame him, smear him, take him off the campaign trail, make him beholden to the court, make him go bankrupt, use all of his campaign funds, you know, all of that, trying to deprive him of resources. And that's what they did to Donald Trump. That's what they did to me. That's what they did to Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows and everybody. They try to bankrupt us, deplete our resources, defame us, make us not credible. And to your point, they've been doing it so much that nobody believes it anymore, which on one hand is good because those of us that have been victims of it can rebuild our lives. We have a chance to actually, you know, continue our lives, whereas before it would have just completely destroyed us. But the really scary part about it is it means nobody is respecting the prosecution system anymore. People just aren't buying it. And that's a very, very dangerous place to be, because now you have a whole generation on both sides that no longer respect the criminal process. I mean, I'm a criminal defendant and I have my mugshot framed in my, like when I do television, it's in my background because I have been so defamed by it that all I can do is own it. I have to own it and say, yeah, I mean, I was targeted by our justice system. And it gives me credibility with people. And while I'm grateful that it gives me credibility because people recognize that I was wrongly targeted, it's also a really sad place to be in the sense that no, You know, a mugshot used to be a death toll, right? Of, oh, your career is never coming back, you're done. And that's not the case anymore. And so if you don't have that stick of fearing the criminal justice process, I think it's very important that the Trump administration try to push back the abuse that has come at him. I think indicting Comey is a good way to start. We need to see some more indictments come back on people that were applauding this and jamming this down our throats. But I don't know how it's going to play out because nobody respects the criminal justice process anymore.
Wow, that's amazing. And by the way, I'm reminded of what the Hebrew prophet said in Isaiah, you know, in the Bible. Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And it's just crazy. You're right. It's cheapening. I mean, even the word felon, if somebody was a convicted felon, well, that was a big deal. But Trump is a convicted felon by X number. I forgot, what was it, 51 or 31?
I think it's 34.
Yeah. And it's almost meaningless. It's a joke. But like you say, that shouldn't be a joke. Tell us about the Mar-a-Lago raid itself. And I mean, this seems crazy, but they were rifling through Melania's personal undergarments. I mean, it just seemed so demeaning. We have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, they went through the residence. They went through President Trump's office, and they went through a storage closet, kind of in a basement type area. And the level of arrogance, it is just astonishing that you could come into a president's home and see a group of people. There was probably about 36 or so agents there, and then you've got the Department of Justice attorneys. They were trying to frame him for some sort of Hillary Clinton-esque email scandal-type espionage case. The case originated out of Washington, D.C. The whole thing was supposed to be handled in Washington, D.C., but even after raiding Mar-a-Lago, they still could not establish probable cause to prosecute him in D.C., so they had to shift the case down to Florida, create bogus obstruction of justice charges, and they had to bring the case in Florida because they couldn't bring it in D.C., and by this point, they'd already raided Mar-a-Lago, and they had the whole world staring at them going, why on earth did you raid Mar-a-Lago? So they had to do something, but the whole thing was bogus from start to finish. It was absolutely fake. Check out Defiant. I give you all the details. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can go to my website, ChristinaBobb.com. That's B-O-B-B. And check it out. I give you all the details.
You know, when you think about it, Christina, think about the fact that there were peaceful pro-life protesters who were arrested by SWAT team members in front of their whole family with, you know, just talk about massive overkill. And eventually they were vindicated, but they had to go through all that. So it's really a terrible thing when it's almost like the authority of the government is used against people with whom you disagree with their political views. That's not American.
No, you're exactly right. It's all about silencing and targeting people and censorship and pushing a certain narrative and trying to scare people who don't support that narrative into not speaking up, not advocating for themselves. It's a totalitarian type situation we're in right now. It's really scary.
Okay, we have 30 seconds left to wrap up. How about a closing thought on tyranny? Is this a time for the, you know, all good, decent people to get involved and, you know, to speak out while we have the opportunity?
100%. I mean, we have a responsibility to participate. A democracy, a constitutional republic like we have, only works when you have a lot of people involved. There's multiple ways to lose your rights. You can lose your rights by a totalitarian regime taking over, which we're seeing that attempted at the moment, or you can lose your rights by voluntarily surrendering them, which we have seen in the past. So, I would encourage everybody, exercise your rights, get involved, run for office, vote, talk to your friends about your political views, but whatever you do, make sure you're part of the process.
Calvin Coolidge once said, if good men don't hold office, bad men will. ChristinaBobb.com for more information. That's B-O-B-B. Thank you, Christina. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.